The following is a Pro Football Network podcast, the primary voice for pro football at profootballnetwork.com.
We're back at Mandalay Bay Radio Row here at Super Bowl 58 in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm here with ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, but before he was ESPN Jeremy Fowler, he was Albuquerque Tribune's.
That's right.
Jeremy Fowler. He was beat writer covering the Albuquerque Isotopes, of which I worked for. So I've known Jeremy before he became an international celebrity on ESPN.
That's right. You were bossing me around. I was cutting my teeth as a AAA baseball writer.
You were a backup beat writer for a newspaper that's now defunct.
That's right.
And now he's Mr. ESPN.
Thanks for humbling me today, yeah.
Welcome to Radio Row. What do you think so far today?
You know, just trying to get, every time I come here, I'm trying to get my bearings. Hundreds of tables and hundreds of players and opportunities, and you know, it's good stuff. I'm ready for the game, though.
You are ready for the game.
I'm just about footballed out.
I usually save it for the end, but since you brought it up, who's going to win the game?
I'm picking the 49ers.
Okay.
I don't feel great about it because the defense has been confusing me just with effort issues and haven't played great in the playoffs. I just think they have a better team, better roster than Kansas City, but obviously the quarterback is the equalizer. I hate to bet against Mahomes. I'm probably going to regret it, but I'm going San Fran.
So you are betting against Mahomes?
I am. I hate to do it, but I am doing it.
Still. Now you've been covering all things NFL all year long.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you're working on right now for ESPN in terms of storylines heading into this game?
Yeah, so we're doing a couple things. I'm working on a big Travis Kelce story that we'll run the night of the game, just on how he sort of managed this fame-crazed year between advertisements and you know, the Taylor Swift relationship and trying to keep it together on the field and battling age. He's 34 years old now, so getting into some of that, he's kind of handled it all very coolly, and here he is playing his best football again. And then, you know, myself and Dan Graziano, my colleague, will do a big notebook coming out of the Super Bowl about just, you know, what we're hearing, whether it's coaching news or what teams are going to do in the draft or, you know, some free agency nuggets, things like that.
When you got into covering football and came over to ESPN as a national writer, did you ever think you'd be spending your days talking about Taylor Swift?
I figured it would enter the social consciousness somehow. I didn't think it would be with Travis Kelce. You know, who knew that this relationship would happen? Basically called a shot on a podcast, you know, but I kind of admire it.
What percentage of the stories have you done this year that have involved Taylor Swift?
Luckily it's pretty low. I don't have to get into the weeds on that.
The ones that have to cover her, are they happy about it, or are they saying it's getting in the way of the football?
It depends on your perspective. I think most are happy about it. I do. Right. Most like a good love story. Sure. Most respect her. You know, she's a great businesswoman, great artist. The pushback, I think, is just more people don't like the camera panning to her when they're trying to watch the game. Like, I guess the
you're gonna
comparison
pan to someone.
Is, yeah. I guess the comparison is like if you're watching a rock concert, and they kept, you know, taking off the concert and going to somebody in the stands. You know, you wouldn't like that.
It's not like they're missing plays, though.
They're not. No, right. It's fine. It's like
and
20
even,
seconds.
Even watching the Grammys the other night, yeah, I'll admit I watched a little bit of it. Every time they won an award, it would pan her. The crowd. It's what it is. It's good for the game, though. It's good for the game.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen somebody draw attention and ratings and business like she does. It's impressive.
What are some of the other big stories that you're monitoring going into Super Bowl 58?
So, yeah, as far as the game or just in general?
In general.
You know, still trying to put a bow on the coaching carousel. It's about over. You know, a lot of the big jobs are filled, but it's, you know, there's still some unanswered questions about what really happened with Bill Belichick. What's he going to do in 2025? I think he'll be looking at some of these historic type jobs that could open, whether it's Dallas or Philly or Chicago, you know. I think that's something to watch. You know, the whole Ben Johnson thing, what happened there is still interesting. I would say we're pretty close to free agency at this point. You know, teams are going to start formulating their plan. You know, can Minnesota re-sign Kirk Cousins? You know, that's a big one. Can Tampa re-sign Baker Mayfield? Will he have enough other teams interested now with how he played where he can draw some leverage and get a really good contract, which I kind of expect at this point. So some of those dominoes have to fall in the next month, and it will be fun to watch.
Are you surprised that Bill Belichick will not be coaching in 2024?
I'm mildly surprised. Excuse me, I would say the issue was when I was talking to teams before the season ended, they were like, I don't know that he's going to be a hot candidate because of the age, because of the kind of rigid nature of his coaching and the way the end of the Patriots way ended. And not everybody was convinced. Others thought he could have like an Andy Reid type impact in Kansas City, though. You go in the right place and you get it done. You get the right quarterback. So it just, there wasn't the interest there and there wasn't the right job. Like, really, Jim Harbaugh was the only ex-NFL head coach other than Dan Quinn, but like as far as big names that were poised for a jump, he's the only one that a team like the Chargers jumped at. The rest were lukewarm on Vrabel, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick. So it was a bit of a surprising cycle in that way, but the age played a factor. People want a young person they can build a vision with for the most part.
Since we are in Las Vegas, I'll set a betting line for you. Total number of games coached the rest of his career, I'm going to set it at 0.5 for Bill Belichick. More than 0.5 or less than?
Yeah, I think we'll get a job. I think next year we'll get a job. Because if you have one, like look at Dallas. If Dallas opens, right?
Well, we've been saying that every year.
I know, but it's Mike McCarthy's contract year. They're not renewing his contract. They just hired Mike Zimmer as a 67-year-old defensive coordinator. Like they're clearly open more than most teams to hire somebody who's accomplished but older. They essentially did it with Mike McCarthy too. So I can see that as a pairing. The Jones family has a good relationship with Belichick. So, if it opens, McCarthy's done a good job. He just hasn't won the playoffs.
So Belichick and Zimmer, and sort of like the upcoming presidential election, a whole bunch of old guys.
That's
going
old
for
guys.
It. He's Jeremy Fowler, David Vermeeren, Pro Football Network, live from Radio Row, profootballnetwork.com, at PFN365. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Good to see you.